This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
This segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
It's time for 5 on. Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris bring you 5 topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I got 5 on.
All right, so we wanted to debut a new segment on this, the Midday Show. Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris.
What up?
And we oftentimes have more topics rolling around in our heads as a collective between you, me, Ray Diaz, Robbie Triano, than we have time for.
Facts.
So I think this is a good way of bringing in a lot of those topics into the show. And this is something that you suggested because you are familiar with it.
Yeah, I thought this was something I used to do on television. It worked well. Got it, hit a lot of different topics in a short amount of time. And, you know, get our voices out there. Not that our voices aren't already out there, but our voices on very specific things that we want to address.
I think it's a great idea. I also want to mention the segment that we did with Ian Happ earlier. If you missed it, you can check it out on the Rewind feature on the Odyssey app. That was at 11:25. It was brought to you by Finishing Chicago. Great finishes start with contractors from finishingchicago.com. All right, are we ready to kick off 5 on it, guys? Listen, right. That's a statement of fact. That doesn't mean we're ready to kick off the segment.
That's right. Question number one on 5 on it. Does the Bears draft fall into Marshall's edict of COE, Caleb, over everything?
I asked this question.
Oh, yeah.
Not Marshall, because that would look weird if he asked it in the third person now, wouldn't it?
It's a valid question, though.
It is a valid question because you know how I feel. I like mission statements. I like knowing the plot. I like to stay on message. If your message is trust the process, I will trust it to an extent. We will talk about it at times. If your message is we want to make the playoffs, we will try to examine how you get there. And when it comes to Caleb over everything, Caleb Williams, did this Bears draft support Caleb Williams in its direction and its result? When the first two picks are a highly regarded tight end who had specific skill sets, and your next pick is a wide receiver who produces out of the slot in the SEC and is known as a first-round talent and was considered an explosive talent last season, then I would say yes. That is the indication. Back it up with an offensive lineman, too, is pick number 3 for the Bears. That's still in the second round out of Boston College. And that would indicate that they still were very much on message for trying to support Caleb Williams in this draft.
I agree with your assessment. I would argue almost that it went from Caleb over everything, COE, to maybe Ben Johnson over everything.
Bo? Not Bay.
B-O-E? Is it Ben over everything? Because I think Ryan Poles hand-delivered, with those first 3 picks specifically, things that Ben Johnson can use immediately. And Caleb Williams needs weapons, right? And some people might have thought he has enough weapons. But clearly, that's not the opinion that's shared by the general manager or the head coach, because they did take Colston Loveland, a tight end. So now they've got 2. They did take another wide receiver in Luther Burden III, who, as you mentioned, Layla, seen by many as a first-round talent. And then Ozzie Trapillo, just a few picks later at 56 overall, was the offensive tackle taken. And I don't know how he should be viewed. I just know that they told me 3 impact players at least, and he's a 3rd guy taken. So it's either got to be he or Shamar Turner, who, of course, was the defensive tackle taken 6 picks later. I'll say this. Caleb is being prioritized in every way. He won't run out of options on offense. And you could argue that the running game isn't up to snuff, but hey, I'm not Ben Johnson. None of us are. Maybe he has an idea that we just haven't caught up with yet.
Continuing.
Yesterday, the White Sox unveiled their City Connect uniforms. And if you haven't seen it, you should go online and definitely look at those. What are your thoughts on the look and the ties it has to the Chicago Bulls?
All right, I'll say this. I'm wearing a shirt right now that says Go Sports. I like an alternative look, you know? I loved the South Side jerseys when they first came out. I have one. It is actually one of my prized sports, like, wearable possessions.
That's much more wearable than what we have had unveiled to us.
Is it wrong that I didn't hate them as much as everybody else?
I don't hate them.
I completely understand it. Also, I don't know if anybody has forgotten this fact, but the Bulls are one of the most iconic brands in all of sports.
Yes.
Can you be frustrated by how they ended the season? Absolutely. Does that mean that people won't enjoy wearing the jerseys? No, I don't think so. I think the two are not mutually exclusive. And I wonder how they're going to photograph being on the field. But I don't hate them as much as everybody else. I think it makes sense.
Have you ever seen an Eastern Washington football game?
Yes, I have.
That's what it's going to look like.
No, it will not. That's the entire field.
That red is going to be very striking on the field.
That red was... That'll mess with your eyes and your depth perception. I don't think this is going to do that.
Okay. We'll go with that.
You went Eastern Washington on us.
Listen, it hit, didn't it? The visual was real, wasn't it?
Hey.
So is the visual of these City Connects.
Oh, no.
I will say this, Layla. Look at these City Connects. And I'm looking at one, right? I'm looking at the one Will Venable modeled for this. And it looks like a Bulls jersey turned into a baseball jersey, because that's what it is. And it's not just any, it's the red. They could have gone black with this. They could have done something, but I guess it wouldn't have hit the same if it wasn't red.
You know what? And I feel like red has almost gone out of style somewhat in baseball as a primary color.
Who's got red besides the Red Sox?
Cardinals.
And the Cardinals.
But the way the Cardinals, wear the red, did you notice that for the Cardinals City Connects, by the way, that they had not had an all red jersey in something like 100 years? Like, because they do white and, you know, the Cardinals on the bat. And as much as I hate them as a team, I love the birds because they're cute.
Bottom line is, this is going to sell. I can tell you that. So they're winning in the only place that they probably only care about, which is the bottom line. These jerseys will sell.
I don't hate them as much as everybody else.
I don't hate them. I'm just saying they could have gone with some other more aesthetically pleasing choices. But hey, everything ain't for everybody.
Man,
that's something I'll stand on.
First of all, like, I need to see this. I need to see it in practice before I'm willing to even think about you invoking the name of Eastern Washington.
Okay.
He just nodded and looked so smug at you.
I know. I got it. I receive your point.
I receive your point.
All right. We got a juicy question here. Thanks to awfulannouncing.com for a lot of the details you're about to hear. Bill Belichick's girlfriend, Jordan Hudson, has increasingly been seen as his de facto agent and PR strategist since he accepted the job as head football coach at the University of North Carolina back in December.
How do we feel about the word handler?
Handler. The most recent instance where Hudson interjected herself into Belichick's professional life came on Sunday during her boyfriend's interview with CBS Sunday morning anchor Tony DeCoppel.
Robbie, how did you guys meet?
Not talking about this.
No?
No.
There's Jordan Hudson interjecting herself into the interview. According to TMZ, Belichick arrived at the interview with no other representative other than Hudson, which came to a surprise to the producers of the CBS show. As for how Hudson conducted herself during portions of the interview that didn't make the final product, she reportedly got, quote, so heated that she had to walk off the set, which caused around a 30-minute delay and, quote, spooked Tony DeCoppel. As a result of some of these details emerging, TMZ learned from anonymous sources around the UNC program that there is a, quote, growing sense that Hudson's involvement, quote, could become a problem. So here's the question for you. Is it time for Bill Belichick to hire a professional agent and or PR strategist to replace Hudson? Or does Belichick have the clout to silence any concerns about Hudson's involvement coming from the University of North Carolina?
The problem is he has the clout that he has, which is why he needs to immediately go find a PR professional, experienced professional to handle this. And first of all, get this matter itself under control and then proceed accordingly. And then kind of Jordan needs to just take a step back, You know, everybody else steps forward. You just step back.
I am still in awe of the fact that she is so protective of a man whose name is synonymous with authoritative head coach. Like, when you think of that, you think of Bill Belichick.
I used to.
And for her to now take that role and be like, we're not talking about that. Like, oh, okay, this is your decision. The man who I just saw run the Patriots for how long? And, you know, ceremoniously break up with Robert Kraft and Tom Brady, whatever you want to call that. That was massive fireworks at the time. Is now doing this. This is the man who gave the massive pitch to North Carolina as to how he wanted to run their football team. And this is the optics that we are seeing now play out in real life. What's really funny is think about the discussion we're having right now compared to the SID for UConn harassing the reporter who got video in a public place where you could film, allowed to film at the NCAA tournament of Dan Hurley talking to Baylor about the referees. You know what happened there, that SID. So I know for a fact, covering college sports, that Jordan Hudson doesn't have to be that person because they've got SIDs for that. They could find one at UNC.
Layla's got a shirt on. It says Go Sports, as she mentioned at the start of the segment. Jordan needs a shirt. It can just say, I'm the captain now. Because that's where we are.
That part of it is really compelling.
I don't know how we got here, but that's where we are.
This is quite the plot twist in the life and the times of Bill Belichick.
And again, anyone who says it's none of our business what she does is like, well, he's a public figure, and now that she's involved with his business dealings, it's free game, as they say.
Yeah, I mean, we're not criticizing two consenting adults for having a relationship. It's just, how is this impacting how you look as the front man for the school?
As of right now, the Minnesota Timberwolves have a 3-1 lead over LeBron, Luka Doncic, and the Los Angeles Lakers. How much would a Lakers first-round loss to the Timberwolves give Mavericks GM Nico Harrison validation? Wait, what did Nico do again? What did he do?
Apparently he traded said Luka Doncic.
That's right.
And he got Anthony Davis back because he says defense wins championships. Also, Lakers haven't been playing much defense in this series. I think it would validate, to a degree, not completely, but to a degree, it would validate that he didn't believe that they should pay Luka all the money. Actually, it's not him. Ownership didn't believe they should pay Luka all the money on the Supermax, and that's why this deal was made. You can argue about what he got back and whether he should have gotten more back, and the answer is yes, he should have gotten more back. But overall, I think Nico is going to be fine as long as Kyrie Irving is fine next season and Anthony Davis stays healthy. I'm asking for a lot, I know.
No, you're not. No, you're not. Here's the issue. As I've said about the Mavericks, some truths in life are told by how they have handled the situation regarding the top five talent that is Luka Doncic. Number one, they have had to throw him under the bus to justify their decision, questioning his conditioning, perhaps other issues of being a teammate and such, when this league is based on talent and talent acquisition. You know what that means? If you have to throw somebody under the bus who you committed to for that long previously, it says more about you now, doesn't it? If you have to cheer on another team to not succeed so you feel better about the decision you've made, says more about your decision now, doesn't it? Are you standing on business or are you standing on somebody else's? Not to mention, the Timberwolves were a buzzsaw last season until they faced who?
Luka. I'm sorry. The Mavericks featuring Luka Doncic.
The Luka Kyrie 1-2 punch was an effective one until it got to the finals.
Yes, Nico Harrison led them there.
Additionally, how did the Lakers fare in the playoffs last year?
They got buzzsawed.
Unfortunately, the focal point of their team is the age he is, and he can still get up for a block or two at 40 LeBron, but it's still a major part of this situation at hand in the playoffs. Not only that, but we know in the NBA, your starters are typically not over the age of 30 in that way in the playoffs.
I'm going to get an apron, and it's just going to have second on it, and I'm going to wear it around because that's what they're looking at right now.
Man. They did what they did to get a top five talent to sustain the success of their franchise. We should all be so lucky. But if you're in Dallas sitting at home because you got waxed in the playoffs, that doesn't mean you get to cheer on somebody else's failure in order to justify your decision, which you shouldn't have had.
Are the Bears any closer to taking the North and maybe never giving it back after the draft?
I guess they're closer. Because they're closer to the season starting, which is when we play games, and therefore you can, at that point, start to build your case for taking the North. Again, the draft itself, going back to our topic of the day, I don't know that I have a lot of faith in the guys that were selected in the positions they were selected, but that's just part of building a team, and I do like what they did before they got to draft level. And we'll see what happens between now and then, but I don't think they're close to taking the North and never giving it back.
I think they're closer.
How much closer?
Well, you know, I in a similar segment that I listen to on these airwaves, I have identified with one Dustin William Rose.
What did he say?
In that, in the fourth year of your rebuild, you should be a 10-win team. With your 1-1 quarterback and your offensive wunderkind coach and your talent that you've acquired.
Is that taking out the context that they had to fire a whole coaching staff, though, and move on from another quarterback?
Well, guess who had him as a 10-win team last year? Me.
I got him at 8-9 as it stands.
Now, as far as taking the division?
Yeah, You got
not one, but two teams you've got to face down.
Those teams would be?
The Vikings and the Lions.
So we're not worried about...
J.J. McCarthy might help you take part of the North if the outcome doesn't go in the Vikings' favor. All of that is a very big if.
But we're not worried about the Packers. I just make sure I'm clear on that.
I personally am not as concerned about the Packers as I used to be.
Oh, I like that. See what that win did at the end of last season? You see what that win did?
And the other one where they almost won? I bring it up every time.
Every time. It could have been a sweep.
Poor Clay Matthews.
Poor Clay Matthews.
I don't know.
Do I look serious?
Robbie, we're flipping it on him, okay? We're flipping it.
Seth Rollins should have come out of the tunnel, in whatever place, immediately.
Roger Goodell would not have been happy, but that would have been sweet.
You know what? I think Roger Goodell understands theatrics in the NFL draft. He's starting to embrace the boos. You know, he even said, come on, and it was funny because the crowd stopped.
He's basically giving you the ear, give me louder boos.
Somewhat humanized him, frankly.
They're louder in Chicago and Philadelphia and everywhere else we've had the draft. Las Vegas.
He giggles about it now. So I actually like the whole plot there and think that if you were going to do this, you can do this. But you needed to understand that the Bears have somebody on their roster, fan-wise, that would answer the bell.
This city, they're begging for an NFC North plot twist this season.
I'm looking at you, J.J. McCarthy. What are you going to do? How can we make you nervous? How can we make you less confident in being the Vikings quarterback? How do you feel about Kevin O'Connell?
How do you feel about Ryan Poles? How do you feel about Ben Johnson?
Do you like Ben Johnson, J.J. McCarthy? That's too bad. Dramatic pause. Now we're like the crew from 92.3 in Cleveland talking about Nick Chubb.
We're not going to be dramatic. Well,
why
slightly,
not?
Slightly.
We have a disclaimer at the top of our show these things.
You're right.
Especially when it comes to Russ Dorsey, who's on our show later today. Our show rolls on. Raheem and Harris, that was five on it. We will do that when we can, of course, when we got a shorter show, maybe that is not the case later in the week, but it's something we want to do. And we ask the question next, building off of this. Do you trust Ben Johnson's personnel vision to fill in the gaps for Ryan Poles? It's another draft discussion. We have it next with you on The Score.
Uh-huh.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That was what was so cool about the last few weeks was getting with Ryan, getting with Ian, getting with Trey, getting with Jeff King, and really huddling up and figuring out how we wanted to sequence the whole board. And to Ryan's credit, he stayed as disciplined as I've ever seen in terms of staying true to how we set it up. Sometimes that gets hard. Sometimes you want to pick for need, but we didn't necessarily do that. I feel really good about the direction we went and every decision we made along the way.
That was Ben Johnson. And as we continue to ask the question, now that the draft has wrapped up here on the Rahimi and Harris Show on The Score, your midday team, it's not just trying to figure out whose draft was it, right? It's not just us asking Mark Grody yesterday if it was Ben Johnson's draft, if it was Ryan Poles' draft. And the answer is it's never just one. It's just how much was the influence there. It's also trying to figure out how much Ben Johnson is going to help fill in the gaps that maybe the Poles front office or the Poles team has missed when it comes to talent evaluation or knowing team fit.
Yeah, I think it becomes a matter of trust. And it's not a blind trust in Ben Johnson, but it's not a full 360-degree view of Ben Johnson because we don't know him as a head coach. We only know him as a dynamic play caller, an innovative play caller in Detroit, and what he's able to do there in terms of build the offense up. Meanwhile, what we know about Ryan Poles is he's gotten some deals done that have been very beneficial to the Bears. I'm looking at you, Carolina Panthers. But at the same time, some of the picks, third round notwithstanding, have not hit. I mean, we know that the third round is an issue, right?
Crater.
It's been a problem. But I think the bigger thing is now, as we look at where the Bears are in terms of building the team, it's not a finished product yet. And obviously, we don't know just how much some of these rookies are going to contribute. We also don't know how much some of the pieces that are on this team are viewed by Ben Johnson in the same way as the last coaching staff. So how valuable or less valuable they are. So it's, do you trust the vision of Ben Johnson and his ability to mold what talent there is versus Ryan Poles' inability to build a great roster? We don't know how good or bad this roster is yet, and it's not even a finished product. But I do know Ryan Poles' track record has been, these teams haven't been good enough to be 500. They haven't been good enough to win more than 7 games.
Yeah.
So I think I lean on the optimistic side that Ben Johnson's going to make the most of what Ryan Poles has brought to market, especially since he did have part of the process picking out players to fit his system. When you talk about a Colston Loveland, when you talk about the other offensive picks throughout the draft.
Yeah, I mean, you can even say that for even the 7th player pick that they had in Luke Newman. You know, offensive tackle out of Michigan, or offensive lineman out of Michigan State. You know, he's a guard. And again, they did get some more offensive line depth. Now, was it high enough? Because Ryan Poles has been known to do that. Like, we know he will draft offensive linemen late to have backups. But I think before the draft, there was a huge swell of people saying, it's going to be remarkably different. You know, it's going to be the priority, like, when I think of Ben Johnson association with the draft, I'm still going back to how the Lions built their team. Whether or not he is actually associated with those decisions, you know, he was the coach who helped make them good. He was the coach who benefited from the Lions, starting with key pieces like Penei Sewell and Aiden Hutchinson. You know, he was the one who helped reap the benefits of that team building the way they did from the inside out. And then we know about the running back piece of it in Jahmyr Gibbs and how that fit into all of this. That was where I could say perhaps the offensive coordinator zigged when everybody zagged and it worked out. You know, if there was a discussion there. But I think what happens a lot of times is your front office is asking your coaching staff, how does this person fit on your team? The draft board may indicate how that person fits with your scheme. You know, we could be talking about Ruben Hippolyte, even though he was graded as an undrafted free agent in the 4th round, you're hoping for the Bears or for Dennis Allen or whoever had the hope in him that he ends up being a real key piece at linebacker because of that same reason. So all of that said, I still look at the first two picks and say, okay, Colston Loveland, very specific when it came to the assignment, when it came to why he was the best player for the Bears. You know, and that indicates, by the way, need. It indicates fit more so than how they felt about Tyler Warren. Is a detail, even when it's just the number 10 overall pick, enough to say he is filling in the gaps where perhaps the Poles drafting left off?
I think the tight end is important because we know he likes to use two tight end sets over 30% of the time. Last year he ran 12 personnel. I also think this is more about, because we're coming off the draft, what the draft has meant for the Bears. How many would you guess? How many, forget about all pro, how many Pro Bowlers would you guess the Bears have drafted since 2021?
So this is after Jalen Johnson?
This is after Jalen Johnson.
I know the answer.
Yeah. What's that answer, Layla?
Zero.
Let's want to really bust this down, right?
Let's.
That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, and 33 plus 8 is 41. That's the last 41 players they've taken.
Don't count the other 8.
Well, okay, you're right. 33 players they've taken. No Pro Bowls. That says something about what you're doing as an organization, does it not?
Also a topic for maybe our next five on it. Could Kyler Gordon be the one?
Who's going to be the next original Bear, like drafted Bear to be a Pro Bowler?
A Ryan Poles pick to be a Pro Bowler. Who's the most likely?
He's probably the most likely.
This year. Now you want it to be QB1 next year.
It's not that hard to be, like, Pro Bowl isn't one of those things where, oh, it's so hard. All pro, yes.
Yeah, we're not talking about all pro.
Pro Bowl, you could be a Pro Bowl replacement. You could be like the fourth or fifth guy alternate.
That's how people talk about Mitch Trubisky being a Pro Bowler. They're always like, oh, don't take the Pro Bowl too seriously, Mitch. We know how he got there.
Who was Lamar Jackson's backup? Who was a backup quarterback and made the Pro Bowl? Huntley? Jacob Huntley? What's his?
Tyler Huntley?
Tyler Huntley, yes. He made the Pro Bowl and he was the backup that year.
Snoop. That's what they call his nickname, Snoop, for whatever reason.
There's a lot of nicknames in Baltimore, in B-more, if you will. Like, remember the Heisman connection? Big Trust? All of those.
So, Ryan Poles has never drafted a Pro Bowler. That's where I was going with that.
Ryan Pace has. Yeah, he's drafted an All-Pro.
Yes, he has.
I am not bragging on Ryan Pace
guess
as a whole.
What? Guess
I am
what?
Not doing that. Don't even go there. You know how I feel about it.
Layla, Ryan Pace ain't here no more. All I'm talking about is who is here right now making decisions right now.
This is your right now plan?
This is my right now. I'm looking at Ben Johnson and saying, yeah, it's on you, big guy, because Ryan Poles has no track record of drafting guys who are Pro Bowlers. Not all pro, just a Pro Bowler.
That's starts to add up.
And that illustrates something that I think we have talked about, and you could talk about the lack of coaching on the field. You could talk about Ryan Poles getting a second run with Ben Johnson, and I think all of us feel much more confidently in his second head coach that he's picked compared to Matt Eberflus, the first head coach that he's picked. But the pressure is now on to develop some of these guys into beyond, oh, he's a starter on the Bears. What does that even mean? Yeah. When you don't have any Pro Bowlers, what does that even mean? You're a starter on the Bears. Not an NFL starter. You're good enough to start on the Bears. You're good enough to start on a team that has won. How many games did they win last year? That's five, right?
Oh, yeah,
and the year before,
five.
They won seven, right?
Yes.
And the year before that? The year before, three.
Yeah, I was going to say, three and 14. It's whatever 15 minus that total is. Yeah.
So I think the standard has to be raised from us watching with our eyes and the league's evaluation of the Bears. And that's why I hope the answer is we trust more in Ben Johnson and his success than we do in Ryan Poles and his shortcomings. I hope that's the answer.
Well, and not to quote a segment that you've also heard on The Score.
Oh, goodness.
Ben's vision.
Hmm.
But you at least want to see how that plays out. You at least want to see how that person fits in. And you knew based on the specific need of the team what they wanted out of Colston Loveland. You know, so I do think that that is valuable in not only helping us see how this comes together, but also helping us see what he wants in somebody. You know, we've asked the question, outside of relative athletic score being a tiebreaker or a determiner for Ryan Poles' pick, what are the traits that get you from point A to B? I will again point out, Ozzie Trapillo is 6'8". I think arm length does matter to Ryan Poles. You know, I think height matters to Ryan Poles.
I think those things matter
to most. At
least on
your offensive line.
To most GMs, those things matter.
Well, there are some who don't care as much about arm length. You saw where Will Campbell went. He went 4th overall.
Yeah.
Skoronski's a Titan. You know, that didn't stop them from taking him. So that's part of the assessment where I feel like knowing what a Ben Johnson athlete is, at least after this season, will help us further understand that concept of it. But you're hoping that's the case. You're hoping that that defined understanding of what your role is going to be is Ben Johnson saying to Ryan Poles, this guy can do this thing, and that's why I want him on my team. Or Dennis Allen saying, I see this person fitting in this way on the offense or on the defense. And I think that is the case with Dio Odengbo.
I'm so excited to find out.
You know what we missed yesterday?
What did we miss?
Wishing Grady Jarrett a happy birthday.
Yesterday was his birthday?
How are we supposed to fight for him as a show interview if we forget his birthday?
The short answer is with nunchucks. That's the short answer.
We were going to cage fight other shows to get Grady Jarrett on.
They won't have nunchucks, and we will.
But we've got to woo him with good timing on birthday wishes.
Happy birthday. Happy belated.
I'm so sorry, Grady Jarrett.
Wow.
Should we do that one more time just because?
Happy birthday, Mike.
Classic.
So, I feel like we're in a good spot, though, with knowing what is what and what is not with Ben Johnson. And we're going to get to find out all together. Eyes wide open.
Speaking of finding out things.
What you got?
We have an office investigation.
Oh, my goodness. Is it that time?
It is that time. There is an office thief among us. And that office thief picked the wrong person to steal from. We suss it out next.
You're listening to Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Excuse me. I believe you have my stapler.
Oh, we brought out the Law and Order music for this.
With the Office Space stapler. A stapler.
Oh, no. Okay, so here's what happened. We should just cut to the chase here. There's no need in trying to show the discovery of what happened, like on Law & Order or, you know, the build-up. We're just going to cut to, like, 30 minutes in. We all wake up to an email from somebody we don't typically hear from on a regular basis. And he is by no means a tyrant. He is not somebody who you usually hear from. Occasionally, it's a motivational message. You know, congratulations on the show from our station group general manager, the head of all of the stations here in our company, at a ye old Prudential Tower, Kevin Cassidy. His official title, Senior Vice President Market Manager for Odyssey Chicago. And the subject says, it would be so great, dot, dot, dot.
The ellipsis hit me. Did that hit?
So I'm like, oh, this is probably just one of Kevin's, like, fun messages. No. It would be so great if the person who decided to, quote, borrow, end quote, my XRT mug this morning, as in WXRT, would kindly return it. It's the one I left on the microwave for 2 minutes. The mug with the oatmeal packet in it. The packet you so kindly left while grabbing the mug. You see, my day doesn't stand a chance of being great if I can't have my morning oatmeal then bold and underlined in my XRT mug. So please return the mug to where you found it. No questions asked. Oh, and BTW, this is highlighted in yellow. I do have a reward to offer, dot, dot, dot. If it is returned this morning, then I promise not to view the recording we keep from the cameras we have in the kitchen. Have a great day. I don't know about you, but I've had many things stolen at offices. But that's a new one. To be so bold as to take a mug that had an oatmeal packet in it left near the microwave as if you don't know what's about to happen to that mug.
That's crazy.
That is what we like to say, out of pocket.
I've had so many things stolen. Someone comes up to me one time when I was working in Philly and they were like, did you take my chicken sandwich out of the fridge? I was like, what are you talking about? They were just going around asking everyone if they took the chicken sandwich out the fridge. I was like, no, I didn't take your chicken sandwich out the fridge. Somebody stole my chicken sandwich. I was like, really? It's almost surprising.
Not the whole chicken sandwich. But like, what are you going to do? You can't take half of it.
My immediate response is like, because I feel like I know, I see this is the problem. I felt like I knew my coworkers. I trusted my coworkers. I was like, are you sure they didn't just move it somewhere else in the fridge? Because, you know, sometimes you're digging back to get your thing and your thing gets displaced.
Have you ever heard of that phrase? There's a book. It's like on managing people. It's called Who Moved My Cheese? It was popular at some point in time amongst people who manage people.
Okay. No, I have not heard of that.
It reminds me every time of the concept of, you know, your food being moved in the fridge. But yeah, I mean, fit in the fridge does matter. Sure.
So we never found that chicken sandwich. This is what I'm getting to. Things sometimes get stolen, disappear, and they never find the culprit. I'm glad that there is a camera in the kitchen that we can, shame. I want that person to be shamed, whoever, because it's one thing to like mistakenly pick up something that
take responsibility.
Well, yeah, it's like, oh, I accidentally picked up this pen. I thought it was mine, but it's yours. That's one thing. To go and take the oatmeal packet out of the cup, take the cup, leave the oatmeal packet. Come on, that can't stand.
And you know what? I'm sure whoever it was like, this person won't miss this XRT mug. I'm going to use this.
No, I refuse to believe that.
I'm just going to put my oatmeal. You think that this was a designated hit on the head of our whole
operation?
No,
I think it was a designated hit. They just didn't know who they were hitting. You got that? Designated hit. I'm stealing this. I want that mug. And I'm not really worried about the consequences of my actions. Because you took the oatmeal out and left it there. Like, you should have just taken everything.
You talked about consequences. What is the consequence if you get caught for this? I have an idea. I think you take a vacation day. You take a vacation day from that person who took that thing.
I don't think you can do that legally.
Well, yeah, let's find a way.
You can suspend them for a day.
You can suspend them for a day.
You can't suspend somebody for stealing a mug?
You can definitely suspend someone for stealing.
Yeah, you should be able to.
You can definitely suspend someone for stealing.
But even that requires HR.
Yeah, it's going to be an HR investigation, everything else. But you know what? Some things are worth the HR investigation because you know what? Someone stole. They need to have that first or that third or that second.
Hold on.
Check against, what, do we have new information?
847.
What'd they say?
This is extreme. My wife used to work for a guy who carried a pocket knife so he could cut off a sample of any food in the company fridge. His company, his fridge, his food.
That's a psychopath.
What do you think this is, medieval England and marriages? No, you can't do that. This isn't Braveheart. No, just because it's your company does not mean you get first rights on everybody's food. Also, a pocket knife, not only is that unsanitary, this is just at this point a cartoon discussion.
Like, doesn't your view of a coworker change if you realize they take someone else's food in the fridge?
Of course,
not even
it
a
does.
Question.
Yeah. What do
you
mean?
Immediately become lowest to your coworker.
Yeah, I would never. I don't want to associate with you ever in life.
I would rather have a coworker who can't find their way to work every single day in 2025 with GPS than this.
I like the 574 text in the criminal justice system. The people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups. Dun dun.
Yeah, the people who steal food and the people who don't. 847, I don't think it was the ghost of Danny Parkins. Although Parkins does love a good bit.
This is a good mug. I want to take the mug.
I really like XRT. You know he's going to be here next week.
He's actually going to be on the midday show or the afternoon show today at 3.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, Danny
Do you think
Parkins.
We should ask Danny who took Kevin Cassidy's WXRT mug? But like of all the people, just the overconfidence of being like, not only am I going to steal, I'm going to steal this mug with this oatmeal packet in it from our general manager.
773, not the first time they stole, first time they've been caught.
Dun, dun, dun.
Likely.
I've had my mug stolen, a couple mugs stolen from around here, man.
Don't you remember when Stud said that somebody stole two slices of pizza, not the four in the bag, but the two out of our fridge over here?
That's right.
And that's why the fridge is now in with our producers.
Don't only a certain number of people have access to said fridge when it was back here?
No, that apparently was the problem. Yeah, only a certain people knew about that fridge, but that's apparently too many people knew.
Man, you steal my food, and I'm at work, and I brought that food. We're going, oh, don't let me get, see, I might lose my, yeah. That's bad. That's bad. I'm anxious to see how this ends. I'm very anxious to see how this ends.
I just have a lot of questions. Number one, what is the punishment? Number two, you should probably soak that mug in Dawn for a while. Right? Like, that needs to be not only soaked in Dawn for a while, but then like high grade 90 some odd proof rubbing alcohol sanitizing. As long as it doesn't take off the XRT decal, that would be a tragic situation.
Wow.
That would be a horrible outcome.
That's interesting. I hadn't thought about that.
But man, to just quote, borrow, end quote, that freely.
I just think, I hope this person is brought to justice immediately.
Also, I'm really concerned about the dude with the pocket knife who thinks that everything is like medieval king rules. Those rules are pretty outdated.
His workers are his serfs.
Like, that's just not how you do things anymore. I'm talking like even past 1200 here. That whole Magna Carta, you know, that tried to clear some stuff up. The things you learn about people. So the moral of the story is, office thief, we're on to you. The problem is, so are the laws.
I'm with that.
Turn yourself in. This hour was brought to you by Cars for Kids. The man laughing in the background of our producer capsule is one Russ Dorsey, who's now named in our disclaimer. Why is that, Marshall Harris?
I don't know. You have to ask him. I'll ask him on the other side why he's in the disclaimer. I'm glad.
Why do we have to issue Russ Dorsey an apology we now play at the beginning of every show?
It's not an apology. Hold on. It's a disclaimer. There's a difference.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
A likely story. We'll talk about it next on The Score.